May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. When I was a child, my family did not go to church. I grew up on a government housing estate of about 25,000 people. It was a place called Park End. And in England, a parish church has a geographical boundary. There are roads that define what church serves which area. Now, Park End was kind of like in a no man's land, because 1 mile north of Park End was a church called St. Cuthbert's in a little village called Ormsby. 1 mile south of Park End was a little estate called Berwick Hills, and that church was called the Church of the Ascension. And we would get letters, not quite often, we get letters saying, your parish has changed. So we kind of bounced from Ascension Berwick Hills to St. Cuthbert's Ormsby. While I was growing up, for the most part, we were part of that parish of St. Cuthbert's in Ormsby. Church was about a mile away. I remember being little, my family didn't go to church, but my two sisters and I, and lots of kids from our street, we would go to Sunday school at St. Cuthbert's in Ormsby. They had a parish hall that was about halfway between our house and their church, so we'd go there for Sunday school. Our mom would, looking back, I think it was just, we walked, okay. And our mom would give us 2 pennies for the offertory. So we would put in 1 penny. It's confession time. Confession time. We would put in 1 penny in the offertory, and then we would kind of walk this circle, okay, after Sunday school, because on the way home there was a candy store. And we would all go into the candy store and we'd buy one of these ice popsicles. Because we got it timed that to get back to our house at Park End, we had to cross a stream with a bridge over it. So by the time we got to the stream, we'd finished our popsicles, and then we would decorate our popsicle sticks with crayons borrowed from the Sunday school. And we would be still there for quite a while, you know, racing our popsicle sticks under the bridge to the stream, and we'd get them and race them again. So that's what we did most of the time. But we never went to church as a family. You know, my dad was confirmed when I was 17 years old. So as a child, we never went to church. Even at Easter, we never went to church. But I remember at Easter, my sisters and I always got new clothes. Looking back, I know that my mom and my dad really sacrificed for that. But a few weeks before Easter, we'd be taking shopping and we would get a new outfit and some new shoes. We never went to church at Easter, but we went to my nana and my granddad's house with all of our cousins and our aunts and uncles, and several people who we didn't even know, but were obviously invited. We went to my grandparents' house, and we were dressed to the hilt. We wore our new clothes with pride. And after Easter, of course, we got to wear them again and again and again. Our clothes were a huge deal. We looked different. And you know something? We acted different. You know, at our nana and granddad's house, we didn't play any games that would have a remote chance of me scuffing my shoes, you know, or putting a hole in my knees, you know, above my new pants. We had new clothes. When Mary Magdalene went to the garden, she did not recognize Jesus. Jesus looked different. And Jesus must have acted different. Because it was only when Jesus spoke did Mary recognize him. Resurrection changed Jesus. And that change in Jesus is so incredibly important because it is in the resurrection of Jesus that God wants to change us. He's given us some new clothes. And he has asked us to look different and to act differently because of resurrection. The clothes that he's given us are the garments of the heart. That if worn, will be reflected in the way that we live our lives. One of those garments is forgiveness. You know, through the death of Jesus of Nazareth, God has assured us of the forgiveness of our sins. Forgiveness. Absolutely. Unconditionally. Without question. Forgiveness. God forgives his children their sins. And then God asks his children to do the same to one another. That's life-changing. To wear that garment of forgiveness. To live a forgiving life. You better believe we will act differently. Then there's the garment of equality. Resurrection broke all human boundaries, broke any human notion that God chose just a few people to love. Jesus himself told us he died to draw the whole world to himself. That new garment of the heart is to see through the outside of a person and see them as a child of God, loved just as much as we are by God. We see through the color of their skin. We see through that physical or mental disability. We also see through these happiness creases that age brings. We see through the male and the female. We see through the outside. To gaze on that child of God. You better believe we will act differently. We're also given the garment of courage to speak. It's very clear that after the resurrection of Jesus, the disciples were locked away in fear because of what happened to Jesus. By golly, they were his closest friends. They weren't going to be crucified. No way. And his resurrection appearances to them in the beginning were behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Resurrection gave them the garment of courage to speak. Now, I'm not saying that we've got to talk about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit incessantly, but what I am saying is we have been clothed with a garment that should fashion and should mold our thinking into an attitude that produces words reflective of God. Words that are kind. Words of compassion. Words of encouragement. words that are loving. You know, this was so important to God that at Pentecost, he gave the gift of languages to all of his disciples so that they could tell the gospel in a language that the people can understand. Our words are important and they should be clothed with love. Because love should be the closet that we take all our clothes from. The death of Jesus on the cross was the ultimate price that God paid to tell his children how much he really loves us. This resurrection is simply proof of that. You know, if we do not understand Good Friday, we will never understand Easter Sunday. Jesus was stripped naked to be crucified. We have to be stripped of our old ways of unkindness, intolerance, judgment, even hate. Stripped of that and clothed with the new garments of resurrection. And we who call ourselves followers of the way of Jesus of Nazareth must be wearing clothes that make us look different and make us act differently. One of my favorite stories is by Hans Christian Andersen. It's called The Emperor's New Clothes. Know it? The emperor, who was fooled into thinking he would be wearing a new garment made of invisible cloth. And all the people under his emperorship, I guess, believed him. And it came to the day of the parade, and there's the emperor, okay, in his new clothes, in the parade. All the people believed it. And one little boy said, "He's got nothing on." Resurrection is about getting the new clothes that God is offering to his children. God asks us to wear them because we are asked by God to look different and to act differently. You know something, it should be no surprise to those people who we live with, or those people who we work with, or those people who we associate with, that we are Christians. If we have to tell them we are Christians, and they have no idea, just listening to our words or seeing our actions, then we are simply emperors with no clothes. Resurrection of Jesus changed people's lives so much that it's changed the world. Resurrection power is still life-changing. We are the ones being asked today to take a really good look at our wardrobe, because Easter is still not just for me, but for all of us, it's about our clothes. Amen.